This is the fourth and final installment of the series. Just to recap quickly, we discussed, we learned together through the Ramchal's letters to his Rebbe, how Ramchal was urging his Rebbe to learn Pnimis HaTorah because of the great value that it has and how it's a higher form of learning Nigla. And we're just trying to prove from there that learning Zohar and Kisei Ari, that the concept, not whether we should learn it or not learn it, but it's not something that's fake. It's something that's very much part of the Torah. It's a higher level than the Torah that we learn. But the question is whether we should be learning that or not, and who is Roy. But certainly, Ramchal made it very clear, and we all hold of the Ramchal. We all learn the Mesilas Yesharim and Derech Hashem, among other Svarim. We just prove from that the importance of that area of Torah. And then we went through a Hakdama of Rav Moshe Schatz, who gives a little bit of a history and dissects the various components of Pnimis HaTorah, how it started from the Rashbi with the Zohar, and later on in history with the Kisvei Arizal, Reb Chaim Vital, his Talmud, who wrote all the Kisvei Ari, and then from there branched off into four different sections and different styles between the Rashash and the Ramchal and the Gra and the Baal Shem Tov. And we described how each of them had a certain component, a certain aspect that they contributed towards Pnimis HaTorah. Then last year, which has not been recorded just yet, hopefully I could get around to this, the question became, who should be learning Pnimis HaTorah? And we went through the various sources of defining what Pardes is, and the Rambam of only one who's Malik Kreso, and we went through the Hakdama of Yaakov Hillel, who spent many years learning Panovich, and who's now a well-respected Mekubal in Yerushalayim, who very much emphasizes this Rambam, that only those who are Malik Kreso, B'yayin U'basar, those who are Malik Kreso in learning Nigla and Gemara and Halacha, only those people have the right to delve into this world of Pnimis HaTorah. He did acknowledge that Pnimis HaTorah is a higher level, but not anyone could get there. There are stages and there are rungs one needs to climb to get to that point. But he did say at the end of the Dham, he wrote that it's mutter for one to learn Tanya. There's certain svarim that are not called Pnimis HaTorah and straight, blatant learning of Kabbalah. But there have many levushim, many layers, Tanya and various Sifrei Chassidus. That's all permitted, he said. And when discussing with Rav Weinberger, he not only said permitted, but he said nowadays, Bizman Gula, it's a requirement. He thought it's essential that people learn Chassidus. Not Kabbalah, but Chassidus, which are levushim of the Pnimis HaTorah, which gives a person an insight of who they are and who other people are and coming closer to Kadosh Baruch. So now our final discussion is on Kabbalah Lamaisa. What does Kabbalah Lamaisa mean? So last week I was in Brooklyn in Borough Park going to various farm stores, and I end up in the Z Berman, the Zunda Berman in Borough Park, and there's a very small sefer there called Kabbalah Lamaisa, and it cost $100. That Kabbalah Lamaisa, I didn't look at it, I didn't read it, I didn't buy it. It's Mestama talking about Kabbalah Lamaisa in terms of using Shemos Hashem and doing various Mofsim. We don't do Kabbalah Maisa. None of us have that ability. We don't create animals from Sefer Yetzirah like the Gemara describes. We don't create golems. We don't kill people. We don't do Kabbalah Maisa. That's certainly true. There was another interesting Sefer which I almost bought. It looked very nice and colorful on the outside, which describes how one could do palm reading and face reading. Really neat stuff. Which is not really Kabbalah Lamaisa, it's just understanding people, but I didn't think it would be right for me to learn that. I'm not sure if I would even understand it. But we're not doing Kabbalah Lamaisa, we're doing Kabbalah in Halacha Lamaisa. How Kabbalah affects Halacha Lamaisa, how we take this into account, the Kabbalah, how it weighs in up against the other poskim. And this is, of course, a very, very big discussion. If you look at source number one, the Beis Yosef, describes which svarim he was using when writing the Beis Yosef. And he describes in the beginning, Nimsa Shemisha Yes Sefer Zelefanov. A person who has the Sefer, my Sefer Beis Yosef in front of him, Yusidurim Lefanov, everything's going to be very clearly organized in front of him, Divya Talmud, Imperish Rashi, Vitosvos. He's going to have a Gemara there, I'm going to include the Rashi, I'm going to include the important Tosfosim, and the Ran, the Piskei Arif, the Rush, the Mordechai, the Rambam, the Magid Mishnah, the Rabbeinu Yerucham, and he goes on and on and on and on, lists the whole list of Rishonim. And then all the way to the end, he says, "Ubiktsas mekomos ma'amari hazar." So everything that you need is going to be here in the Beis Yosef. This was the Masifta of the times of the Beis Yosef. In fact, when the Chazon Ish was learning in Europe, he learned Gemara and Beis Yosef. And all the other Bachman would make fun of him, like, who learns like that? Who are you going to become? And of course, we see who had the last laugh. I don't know who the others were, but certainly we know who the Chazon Ish who became. So we see in listing the number of discussions, number of sources that Beis Yosef used, included among them is the Zohar. And remember, Beis Yosef is a sefer, it's a perish on the Torah, which is a sefer on Halacha, so he included the Zohar, which of course is a sefer in Kabbalah, as part of the Pesach Halacha. We have many instances where the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, included a Pesach of the Zohar throughout. So just to go a few examples to see how prevalent and relevant the Zohar was, there's a halacha in Hilchos Netilas Adayim, for example, where the din is lo yitol. It's found in Siman Dalad in Sifyut Aleph. The lo yitol mimishalo nata yadav shachris. Let's say a person didn't have any plumbing in his house, and he had to go fetch the water from a well nearby to wash negelas in the morning. So the din is that one should not have someone who hadn't yet washed his hands schlep the water. What's the basis for this? And the basis is that if you look in the Beis Yosef, he quotes the Zohar in Parshas Vayeshev, and there are a number of halachas that relate to Netilas Adayim, which is predicated on findings in the Zohar. And this is a common throughout. Other areas that he discusses in terms of the Zohar and the din, that a person, a Kohen, who has to do duchening on Yontif, so or for Svardim every single day. So the Mechaber Paskins in Simen Kuf Chaf Ches, Sivav, that Afa Pisha Netlo Kohanim Yideyim Shachris, even though the Kohen washes his hands in the morning, he has to be Chosim Vinol in Yideyim at a Perek, which is for the Birchas Kohanim as well. Now, even though he washed his hands in the morning, and he ensured that his hands remained clean, he didn't touch anything dirty, he didn't scratch his hair, everything remained clean, there's a din to have to wash them yet a second time before Duchen. What's the need? His hands are already clean. And so the Beis Yosef explains, the Zohar tells us that when he has to do Birchas Kohanim, he needs to add further Kedusha onto his hands, thus requiring a second Netilas Yadayim. So there's another area where the Zohar plays a role up Yalacha. The Shulchan Aruch describes the various halachas regarding the structure of the Beis Knesset. And he writes in Simon Lamed Beis that Tzarech Liftoach Psachim Chalonos, when a person's davening, you have to open up the windows, Keneged Yushalayim, Kedei Lispala Kenegdem. So that you should daven toward Yushalayim, that your heart should face Yushalayim. And then he adds, V'tov, it's a good idea, Sheyuhu V'Beis HaKnesses, Yud Beis Chalonos. That there should be 12 windows in the Beis Knesses. And what's the basis? So the Beis Yosef writes, this Indian of Mispar Chalonos, it's Lo Nifs Parish B'Talmud, V'lo B'Divrei HaPoskim, it's not found in the Poskim, it's not found in the Gemara anywhere. About the Sefer HaZohar, Kasev B'Parshat El Pekudei, they have to have 12 Chalonos, based on Sod. And not only do we find this in Shulchan Aruch, we also find this in the Nosei Kelim as well. And this is really, you know, when I started getting interested in learning about the Zohar and the Kisvei Ari a few years ago when I started to ask for Weinberger, it's because I saw it so common in the Poskim, in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Magen Avraham, and the Mishnah Berurah, so often, I wanted to know if these are Svarim that are related to Halacha, that we're basing our psak based on them, and I'm not supposed to learn halacha, I'll leave with the hilchasa, so I need to know who these individuals were. I need to know what's written in the svarim. That piqued my interest. So the Magen Avraham, for example, brings in Simen Chaf Dalet, he's describing holding the tzitzis, so you're supposed to hold it between the kmitz and the zeres, between the pinky and the ring finger, and that's based on Shar Kavanos of the Arizal. And he writes, in terms of Tikkun Chatzos, staying up at night, which the Shulchan Aruch itself describes, the Magen Avraham brings a number of dinim relating to Tikkun Chatzos based on the writings of the Kisvei Ari. So we see how the Zohar and the Kisvei Ari made its way into the Shulchan Aruch and the Nosei Kelim, and therefore play a very prominent role in Piskei Halacha. Now, still, whether I should be learning or not learning it, that's a whole other discussion, but certainly they play a prominent role. Now, if someone were to say we're going to go through the Poskim, even those who contend that we can't weigh the Zohar and Kisvei Ari, they cannot override Pesach Halacha, It's not because they don't accept the Zohar and they don't accept the Kisveri. Everyone accepts it. It's the only reason why they would hold back is because there's a certain Derech HaPsach. And part of the Derech HaPsach is based on the Pasuk Lo B'Shemayim, the famous Gemara Bava Metzia, that Shemayim doesn't make the decisions. It's the Rabbanim down here that make the decisions. We paskin, and even though it might go against what the Hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, what the intent from the Torah was in Shemayim, that doesn't make a difference. If the rabbis here make decisions, that becomes a Psak Halacha. So part of this conversation is, how do we view Kabbalah? Is Kabbalah something that's in this world? Or no, it's Mamish B'Shemayim. And we say, Lo B'Shemayim, we don't rely on these things which are Divrei Nevi'is, Divrei Ruach HaKodesh. It's above the way Psak Halacha works. That's part of the conversation. We're not going to take that particular discussion head on, but that is part of the background of understanding how Kabbalah weighs in to Psak Halacha about Lo B'Shemayim Hi. But no one's going to argue that Zohar and Kisveri and the Ramchal and the Gra and the Rashash and the Baal Shem Tov don't have a place in Torah. They certainly do. The question is just how do we view it in regards to Halacha. Now, there have been a couple instances where people have accosted me or attacked me for who said the Rashbi wrote the Zohar. Not true. They're proving certain great tzaddikim in history have thought otherwise, and certainly the academics discuss at great length how perhaps the Zohar wasn't written by the Rashbi. I said, our Masorah is that it was written by the Rashbi. This is how Rav Moshe Feinstein understood, this is how the Chavetz Chaim understood, this is how all the tzaddikim understood. And yes, from time to time, there are some tzaddikim in history who thought otherwise, but this is our Masorah, and those who don't accept the Zohar, in my understanding, would be considered apikorsis. So we're accepting the Zohar, we're accepting the Kisari, we're not saying to learn them, that's another discussion, and we're just discussing whether we should take them into account in terms of Psak Halacha. There is an interesting tshuva, this is number two, the tshuva's Maaseh is Binyamin in Simon Samach Beis. He was Rav Binyamin Aaron Solnik of the 16th century in Poland. He was a Talmud of the Ramah and the Maharshal, two great poskim. And he writes, when discussing Klal Yapsak, that Harei Lefanecha Sefer Zohar. When coming to figure out, you're trying to weigh the more shitas up against the less shitas, and what part of Psak Halacha is that when it comes to the Zohar, Shu Shakal Yoser Mikol Mechaber, that the weight, the value, the significance of the Zohar is greater from all the other Mechabim, all the other Svarim, all the other authors. Shachach Simas Talmud. And he writes, in you call Mechabrim Mekap Mazayim Achas. If you have all the Mechabrim on one side of the scale, you have the Gemara, the Rashi, Tosas, Ramban, Rambam, Rash, Rif, and so on, all on one scale. And the Sefer Zohar, Levado. And you just have the Sefer, small set of the Sefer Zohar on the other side of the scale. Bekaf Shnia, Machria, Eskulam. It's going to weigh down all the other svarim. Harehu adif mirov. The Zohar is greater than the rov, minyan, and binyan. It's greater than the minyan, how many, the quantity. And it's greater than binyan, greater than the quality. And like the Beis Yosef writes, that we pass like the Zohar against all the other mechaber. And this is a Talmud of the Marshal and the Ramah to show the great significance of the Zohar. The Shulchan Aruch writes, a halach in Birchas HaShachar, the Yesh Nogin Levarech Hanosin Layav Koach. Those have the practice to say the bracha of Hanosin Layav Koach. But the Mechaber believes that's incorrect. And the reason why he believes it's incorrect because it's not found in the Gemara. It's not found in the Poskim. It's not even found in the Zohar anywhere. And therefore, there's no basis to say this. Acha Minog, the Ramah writes, the Minog Pashib Bivnei Ashkenazim LaOmra. Now, even though the Ramah were going to see the Ramah was not in favor of the Zohar. This was not found in the Zohar anywhere, as we'll see in just a moment where it is found. But the Ramah, part of his psak, he was very much holding on to Minhag Yisrael. And even though it may not make sense, and there are stories I've shared in the past about how the Ramah dedicated his life to explaining and justifying Minhagim and maintaining Minhagim, so this is based on a Minhag, not because the Ramah had a particular leaning towards Zohar and Kabbalah, because he didn't, simply because that was the minhag. It was the minhag apashu. But the Mechaber says, we don't say this because there's no source in the Gemara or Poskim or Zohar. But the Chida writes in the Birkei Yosef, it says, Ata, nowadays, nispashet ha-minhag b'gal yoseinu. The practice has become prevalent amongst the Sfardim as well to say the bracha of Hanos and Koach, and this is in fact how they practice nowadays. Alpi Kisser Rabbeinu Harizal, based on what the Arizal writes in the Shaar Kavanos. And he writes, Ki after Kableinu Haros Maran, even though normally we always pass like Maran Harav, like the Beis Yosef, the Mechabert, how the Svarim always paskin. So how could we go against the Psafka of the Shulchan Aruch, who says not to say the Bracha of Anos and Leav Koach? Says the Chida, Dil Moli Maran Afura Das Kadosh Arizal, Gamhu Yorah Levracha. Had the Beis Yosef seen the writings of the Arizal, which he didn't see. He wasn't Zohar to see Kisri Arizal. Had he seen the Kisri Ari, that would have convinced him as well. So we see the Shulchan Aruch clearly takes the Zohar very seriously, Psak Halacha, and the Chidah suggests that the Shulchan Aruch would have taken the Kisri Ari just as seriously had he been aware of it. So we see here that both the Zohar and the Kisri Ari, which are the two greatest pillars of Kabbalah, are very much, very much present in Psak Halacha. Where does the Ramah stand? What's the Ashkenazi understanding of Kabbalah? So there's a fascinating discussion in Halacha when a person gets an Aliyah. We know the way it used to be is a person would get an Aliyah and he'd lain. They all knew how to lay in Torah and Chumash and Parsha, so they would get called up and they'd read the Pesukim. Nowadays, where unfortunately we don't know all the Parshios, so we have a Baal Kareh, and the individual gets called up for the Aliyah and he says the Bracha and the Baal Kareh reads. So the question becomes, should the Baal Aliyah say along the lines, say the words as well? Because if, let's say, I say Hamoti, someone else can't eat the bread, I need to eat the bread. If I'm saying a bracha, I need to do the Maisa Mitzvah, I need to do the Maisa. So if I say the bracha of reading the Torah, I should read the Torah. Yet on the other hand, perhaps there's a concept that only one person should be reading. If Kabbalah Satorah is the model for Kriyas HaTorah. So just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu was the singular being who recited the Psukim over to Moshe Rabbeinu, so too the Baal Kareh, who Kviyachol represents a Kadosh Baruch Hu, should be the singular person who says it, and we shouldn't have someone else whispering along. So what should the practice be? And in this long Beis Yosef in Simen Kuf Mem Aleph, the Beis Yosef writes that he heard from a certain Rav, Ari Abuhav, who writes that he had heard from the Zohar, not that he saw the Zohar, but he heard from the Zohar that the person, only one individual, should read and the Baal Aliyah shouldn't recite alone. And the Beis Yosef did a little bit of a research and he says, Zachiti Levotza. Right, to Beis Yosef, Azocha, to find the Zohar, and it's found in Parshas Vayakel and Reish Beis Amabes, which says, Vizel Shono V'Oser Lemikre Baraisa Barchad B'Luchudayu. It's Oser for someone other than the Baal Kori to read. And based on this, says the Mechaber, Afa Pisha L'divya Poskim Tzarech Likros, even though the Poskim all assume that one must read the Psukim, the Aliyah, the Baal Aliyah, the Ola has to read the Psukim, the Imlo Yikari, if he doesn't read the Psukim, it's Hare Brach L'Vatala, Me'acha Shalom Nizkar Zebetal Me'behedya, since this is not mentioned explicitly in the Gemara, Lo Shavkinan Divya Zohar, Vipnei Divya Poskim. We can't ignore the Zohar because the Poskim say otherwise, and therefore the Zohar tipped the scale. Now, if the Gemara mentioned it, we'd be in another discussion, but the Zohar up against the Poskim, so then the Zohar wins. And that's how the Mechaber assumes in this halacha. The Ramah, however, argues the Beis Yosef, and he says, Ein lazuz medivrei Poskim. We should not ignore the Poskim. The Poskim are the ones who override. Afim hayu divrei Zohar chalukin aleihem, even if the Zohar argues in the Poskim, we don't assume like the Zohar. Delo ke Beis Yosef writes to the Darche Moshe. Not like the Beis Yosef. And he assumes that we don't Poskim like the Zohar. Now this could be for one of a couple of reasons. We saw the other day, the last time he gave a shir, which again wasn't recorded, that the Ramah defined the world of Pardes. As the Gemara Chagiga talks about Rabbi Kiva and the others entered into Pardes. So there's a bit of debate how one defines Pardes. It's understood now Pardes is the world of Kabbalah. The Rambam felt that Pardes were certain aspects of the Gemara that are mentioned, certain philosophical discussions, and even in theological discussions found in the Gemara. The Rambam wasn't aware of the world of Kabbalah, it seems. And the Ramah felt that Pardes was the Chachmas HaOlam, sciences, other languages, other subjects in the world. And the Gra, on that discussion, he says, neither the Rambam or the Ramah knew the world of Pardes. And they can't comment. If you don't know the world of Pardes, it's hard to make a comment. So the Ramah knew the Zohar. He's aware of the Zohar. I don't know if he learned it or not. But as the Gra points out, he didn't learn the Kisvei Ari and didn't learn the other areas of Pardes. So it's hard to really comment on this topic, according to the Gra. So that could be the Ramah's coming from. He just didn't appreciate the Zohar as much as part of that Kabbalah, based on, again, the comments of the Gra. That's not me saying this. Or perhaps the Ramah just felt that in terms of Pesach Halacha, the Zohar is considered Lo B'Shemayim. It's considered B'Shemayim, and we have to say Lo B'Shemayim. We say it's not B'Shemayim. The world of Kabbalah, the world of Zohar, is something that's out there. And Pesach Halacha only depends on the poskim down here. But this is the understanding of the Ramah and Ashkenazim, that we don't weigh into account the Kabbalah, at least at this stage of the Shir. The Ramah writes in Hilchos Tefillin that how should one stand or sit when putting on tefillin? So he writes in the Hilchos Tefillin Simen Chafei that those who write that Shekasir L'Haniach Shayad Miyushav, one should place the tefillin Shayad while sitting down, and the Sharosh Mu'umad, and you should stand while placing on the Sharosh. Uvim Medinos Eilu writes Ramah, what's our practice? Lo Nagu Kein, we don't have such a practice. Ella Shteyin Mu'umad. Both of them are to be donned while standing up. And the Mishnah Berurah makes a comment that he wants to quote some Magen Avraham and the Eli Rabba, maybe make a pshara, say the bracha standing up and put the tefillin sitting down. And then the Eli Rabba quotes from the Maharshal, who quotes Kasuv Demilanu Gadol Mir Shimon Mikinon. Who is greater than this individual, this great tzaddik Mir Shimon Mikinon, who is a great mekubal? And Acha Shalomed Kabbalah Hayom Espala Kitinok Ben Yomo. And after he learned Kabbalah, he was davening like a young boy with daven. What does it mean, a young boy to daven? So remember when you were younger how you davened on vacation days. Remember how you davened when you were in first grade versus when you were 15. When you're 15, you knew how to say everything, but it took you 10 minutes to daven. And when you're first grade, you knew how to say five things, but it took you 25 minutes to daven. Because a first grader is loving davening, he sings Moda Ani, he's singing Matovu, he's singing Shema, he's singing Hamachago, whatever he says, he's singing and saying it slowly, he loves it so much. And the 15-year-old is running through, puts on tefillin in 10 minutes, takes it off and on, and in Zehu. But when you understand the world of Kabbalah, each word has such incredible impact in the Shemayim. And you really believe, you internalize how you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you daven like you're one, like a first grader again. So this great tzaddik, after he learned Kabbalah, he learned and he davened like a Tinok Ben Yomo. And he said that the bracha and hanacha should both be b'amida. And that's how he paskin. That's what their Mishnah Berurah says, quoting from the Eli Rabba and the Maharshal. And the Gra writes as well that the Zohar also actually says it's permitted to wear tefillin shayad standing up, so it's not against the Zohar either. The Gra apparently said that there are only three places where the Zohar actually goes against how we paskin. The Zohar is very hard to understand. There are many interpretations, but the Gra's understanding is how we interpreted the various Zohars. There are only a few places where there's actually a stira. All the other places, everything lines up nicely. But then the Mishnah Berurah writes, he quotes in the Knesset Gedolah, Bechol Yaposkim, in terms of the Derech HaPsak, he says as follows. Even though we saw the Beis Yosef very much embraced the Zohar, and the Chida embraced the Kisveri, and the Ramah did not consider it strongly, the Zohar, the Mishnah Berurah lays down the following principles. Kol davar shebali ha-kabbalah va-zohar chalukin im ha-gemara va-poskim halachach ha-gemara va-poskim. Whenever there's a debate, when there's a blatant contradiction between the Kabbalah and Halacha, we go based on Halacha. That's based on what the Derech HaMoshe says. Umiu in bali kabbalah machmirim. Let's say there's not a contradiction, it's just that there's a certain chumah Kabbalah has. So then, yesh lahachmer gamkein, we should be stringent and we should consider the Kabbalah. Vimlo huskar b'gemara u'b'poskim, it's not mentioned at all. Afa b'shenishkar b'kabbalah, if the concept doesn't exist in the Gemara, it doesn't exist in the poskim, but it's mentioned in the Kabbalah. Einanu yichon lokuf lino kach, we can't enforce it, but it sounds like he would encourage it, but we can't enforce it. And that which is mentioned in the Shas and poskim, sorry, that which is din she'ein muskar behepech b'shas, anything that doesn't contradict the Zohar at all, then we should go like the Kabbalah. So these are various points in circumstances when we'd follow Kabbalah versus Gemara. Now, there are those people who clearly don't learn enough halacha, and they learn a lot of Gemara and Iyun and Lamdas, and they make fun of Zohar, and they make fun of Chassidus, and make fun of Kabbalah and Kitzari, because they don't really know what it is, and they call it fluff and made up. And those people should just look at the Mishnah Berurah and Siman Chaf Hei, how the Chafetz Chaim certainly, everyone holds to the Chafetz Chaim, everyone holds to the Mishnah Berurah, he certainly quoted and took it into account in passing Shilas, and the Mishnah Berurah, it was quite aware, and he seemed to have learned Kisri Ari and Mishnah Berurah from his familiarity of writing the various Pishkei Halacha. Shemir Shalashon, it's laced with Kisri Ari. The Mishnah Berurah happens to have a fascinating discussion with regards to Gilgulim as well. There's a din of Loig L'Rush. Loig L'Rush is the din that a person can't make fun of someone who's poor. What that means is that a person who's dead, who can't perform mitzvahs anymore, if you perform a mitzvah in front of him, you're making fun of him. You're standing at the guy's kever and you're wearing tzitzis, he sees the tzitzis, it's making fun of him because he can't perform tzitzis anymore. You're wearing tefillin in front of the kever, it's making fun of the mace because he can't perform the mitzvah of tefillin anymore. So that's the din of Loig L'Rush. So what happens, the Mishnah Berurah discusses, let's say, a person standing by the kever of a child. Now, the child was never chayiv of mitzvahs in the first place, so there's no Loig L'Rush. You could wear tzitzis, you could wear tefillin in front of such a kever. Says the Chafetz Chaim, no, because perhaps this young boy came from a Gilgal of a great tzaddik before him, and therefore that neshama in a previous life did experience a chiyu mitzvahs, and therefore you can't do wear tzitzis, you can't wear tefillin, you can't do any mitzvahs in front of the kever, even of a child. Let's say it's a kever of a girl, a young girl. So then he says one would be allowed to wear tzitzis and tefillin in front of the girl's kever, because even if this girl came from a great tzaddikus, we don't assume she came from a tzaddik. We don't assume that she came from a Gilgul of a tzaddik, because male and females don't switch genders in terms of Gilgulim. So that's just a fascinating discussion in general, and the fact that the Mishnah Berurah acknowledges this and brings this to halacha also is quite intriguing. There's an interesting Rav Moshe who makes a very fascinating chilek between different Sifrei Kabbalah. And the question was posed to Rav Moshe Feinstein. This is source number 9 in Or HaChaim Chelek Dalet Siman Gimel. In your question regarding the Pesach of the Mishnah Berurah, Gavei Nir Belayla, one who's up all night, and the Mishnah Berurah says, Lo Yivarech Babokir Birchas L'Kai Neshama, he shouldn't say in the morning L'Kai Neshama because he didn't sleep. His Neshama was never taken and it was therefore never returned. And you shouldn't say Birchas HaTorah either because there is no interruption from your previous Birchas HaTorah. You were constantly learning or somehow a osek b'Torah. And you shouldn't say Birchas Mavir Sheina either because you didn't sleep. That's the Pesach of the Mishnah Berurah. But that Rizal says, Kasav Sheish Lavarich, one should say such brachas. And the Mishnah Berurah tells us that whenever there's a machlokas, the Kabbalah should be machriya. So shouldn't we say that Rizal's machriya, the machlokas, poskim, whether you should say brachas or not brachas in the morning, went up all night? And writes to Moshe, Nei Pashit. It's Pashit Shea Kabbalah Tachriya Husefer Zohar. Vatikunim Shem Divretanai. It's clear when the Mishnah Berurah is talking about how Sefer Kabbalah could tip the scale, it's referring to the Sefer Zohar, and the Tikkuni Zohar, that's all true, because as a Divrei Tanoim, it was written from the Rashbi, and his Talmidim, and therefore as a state of a Tana, and could tip the scale, a Tana, up against the modern day Poskim, that's true. If it came from the Zohar, I agree. That was a few months ago, I was at an OU rabbinic retreat in Atlanta with Rav Weinberger and others. Many wonderful things happened there. But what I noticed one day was during the first day when we were davening Shacharis, so Rav Weinberger and I were changing our Rashi tefillin and putting our Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. We were the only two that were doing this. And I noticed someone who I actually went to shir, was in shir with for a number of years, was from the corner of my eye, I noticed he was like staring at me and he's sort of disturbed by me wearing Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. And I was anticipating him pouncing on me the moment davening was over, and kachava. He, I would say, attacked me, but he confronted me and asked why I wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. And I simply said to him, it's a clear din in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch brings down the concept of tefillin to Rashi and tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam. And not that everyone has to wear it, but those people who feel like they are want to be machmering themselves to wear it. There's such an inyan. And Mishnah Berurah discusses the various halachas related to it. It's not a made-up thing. It's not, yes, Chabad and Hasidim, they wear it. It's an obligation in their world. But it doesn't mean we can't do that as well if we feel like we're capable of wearing Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. And Ramosha himself wore Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. When the Lubavitcher Rebbe sent a pair of tefillin to the Ramosha Feinstein, he wore the Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. So these are the two things I say to people who are against wearing Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. It's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, brought down in the Mishnah Berurah, and Ramosha Feinstein himself wore. If Tendler wears. Either way, so clearly Ramosha understood this, and Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin is something that has deep Sharashim, deep roots in the Rashbi, in the Zohar, even though Rabbeinu Tam he wasn't alive during the time of the Zohar. This part of a much larger and different discussion. But either way, certainly Ramosha acknowledged the relevance of Kabbalah. But in terms of Psak Halacha, he says the Zohar does weigh in very strongly. But he contrasts this to the Kisvei Arizal and the Pri Etz Chaim, which is part of the Kisvei Ari, Af Shegadol Ma'od. Even though this is great Svarim, and the Arizal was an incredible tzaddik. Hu Ke'echa Mikol Poskim. In terms of Psak Halacha, he's no different than a Rashi, a Tosos, Rambam, Ramban. Like, they're also great tzaddikim. Ramban, learn Kabbalah as well. But learning Kabbalah isn't the only way a person becomes a great tzaddik, and certainly not in Psak Halacha. So even though the Arizal, many things we do is based on that Arizal, Kabbalah Shabbos is based on that Arizal, we don't even know half the things that we do are actually based on that Arizal. But so in terms of Psak Halacha, says Ramosha, the Arizal is just as great as the other poskim, because who are we to judge who is a greater tzaddik? We're going to say that Arizal was greater tzaddik than Rashi. You know what the Svarim speak about how great Rashi was. So we can't judge. Ramosha Feinstein can't judge, and therefore the Zohar, which is written by Rashbi, written by Tana, okay, that could tip the scale. But already in the centuries of the Kisvei Arizal and the Rishonim, it's hard to say who's greater. And therefore, the Arizal, even though the Arizal says that we should say bracha of Birchas HaTorah and Mavir Sheina and Elokai Neshama, since the other poskim say not to, Ramosha felt that the Kisvei Ari should not be machriya in the din. So Ramosha was against relying on Kisvei Ari. He wasn't against trusting it. He was against Psak Halacha, paskening based on it. Entering Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi, who was not in favor of a passing like the Zohar, why not? So he was asked the following question, which happens, unfortunately, all too often. A person comes late to shul. So, api psak of the Shulchan Aruch and the poskim, one should skip around to ensure you get tefillah b'tzibur. To daven shmoneh esrei with a minim, you should say baruch shem or ashrei yishtabach and so on. But based on that rizal, the person has to daven keseder. The davening is so important, how you go about it. It's a whole journey that we're going through. And those who learn the Svarim will understand there's Abiyah. Abiyah is Aleph, Beis, Yud, Ayin, stands for the different Olamos. There's Atzilus, there's Bria, there's Yetzirah, and there's Asiyah. These are four Olamos. And we climb these worlds. Atzilus is the higher. It really starts from Asiyah to Yetzirah to Bria, and then to Atzilus. These are the different levels. So the Arizal understands that Karbonos, and then Psuke, and then Birchas HaShachar, and then Birchas HaShma, rather, and then Shemoneh Esrei is leading up to the highest level of Atzilus. If one were to go out of the order and skip different rungs and skip different worlds, everything wouldn't work out properly. So based on that Rizal, it's very important you daven keseder, even though that means you're missing tefillah b'tzibur. So how should one paskin? The Chacham Tzvi writes in Siman Lam Nevav that he says one should not go like the Zohar if it goes against the poskim. We can't ignore the poskim. And he says not because Zohar and Nistar is not true. It is true. But nistaros have no place in halacha. Nistaros is how to understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu, how to understand the world in a much deeper sense. But that has no bearing on psak halacha. That's number one. And then number two, he says, Shim lo kein, if you don't assume this way, nasata Torah kol echad v'yachad biyado leilech achar havanasa b'sefer Zohar. A person can now read, interpret the Zohar however he pleases. The Zohar is very cryptic. And a person could read it to his liking. Could have 15 guys learning the same piece of Zohar and have 15 different interpretations. And this guy's going to choose it im tova im rahi, if it's going to work for my benefit or not work for my benefit. So many people nowadays are doing weird things. They're creating their own piskei halacha, and they're relying on what's written in the Zohar. And when they read the Zohar, it's not the correct reading. And therefore, since it's so cryptic, and since it's so ambiguous, we cannot rely on Sefer Kabbalah because we don't really understand what it means, and we should just rely on what the Poskim tell us. So while Rav Moshe said, you can rely on the Zohar, and you can't rely on the Arizal in the face of the Poskim, but it had not been for the Poskim, you could rely on the Arizal, the Chacham Tzvi felt you can't rely on any of Sefer Kabbalah simply because we can't fully appreciate it. And there's a Chubas Chacham Chassam Sofer in Or Chaim Sof in the end of Siman Nun Aleph, who has this line that Kol HaMa'ariv Divrei Kabbalah Im Halachos HaPsukim Chai Mishim Zarei Kalayim Ben Tuktash. The one who mixes together Kabbalah and Halacha is like planting Kalayim. By crossbreeding different fruit and vegetables and produce, mixing Kabbalah and Halacha would be incorrect. This is what the Chassam Sofer says. And someone wrote a shaila to Rav Osner and Shevet Levi Chelik Aleph Siman Beis right in the beginning, the second tshuva of his whole discussion, all the tshuvos, the second one, Chelik Aleph Siman Beis, he discusses this, and he says he doesn't understand that this Chassam Sofer should be taken literally. He doesn't think it really means this, because the Magen Avraham and the Beis Yosef are full of Zohar, they're full of Kisri, the Halacha, Leminag. It's hard to say that the Chassam Sofer rejected all these Magen Avrahams, all these Beis Yosefs. The Chassam Sofer learned the Zohar, he learned the Kisri, he was very familiar with the world of Kabbalah. So hard to say that. And the interpretation of the Rav Osner of this line in Chassam Sofer is that a person should mix together different Svarim of Kabbalah. Because the Kisri Ari is very different than the Ramach, which are very different than the Rashash. When you're learning Kabbalah, you have to stay within that world because there are different olamos. How that works is not for now. I don't understand. But that's what he's referring to. Don't mix the Arizal with the Rashash and with the Zohar. That's what's the confusion. That's being ma'ariv, different things. A person who's living in the world of Atzilus versus the world of Asiya and Bria and Yetzirah, they're all different worlds. And that's what it means not to mix them together. And then he adds at the very end here, just a beautiful language, how he writes how beautiful, how essential, how critical learning Kabbalah is and incorporating it into Halacha. But we see from all this how Kabbalah does play a very prominent role in Halacha, and how it goes about depends on the different poskim, based on the Beis Yosef, and the Chidah, and the Ramah. Rav Avadya Yosef was very against the passing based on Halacha, rather based on Kabbalah. His approach was follow Shulchan Aruch. And the others, Ben Ish Chai was very interested in fasting based on Kabbalah. And Rav Avadya was very against the Ben Ish Chai using Kabbalah and Kisri Ari as a source of Psak Halacha. But other modern-day Sephardi poskim do say we do embrace the Kabbalah. So it's, of course, a very complicated topic. But we see how in many areas, how Kabbalah does play a prominent role in paskening Halacha.